Good evening. This is Archdeacon Steve West of the Parish of St. Barnabas in the Anglican Church in the Diocese of Trinidad and Tobago. I welcome you to reflection on this second Sunday after Christmas in Year B. Our readings for today, Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 7 to 14, Psalm 84, Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 to 6, and 15 to 19a, and the Gospel of Matthew chapter 2, verses 13 to 15, and 19 to 23. Let us pray. The Lord is here, and we will praise Him. The Lord is here, and we will worship Him. The Lord is here, and we will trust Him. The Lord is here, and we will honor Him. The Lord is here, and He has called us to give Him all the glory. Amen. O loving Heavenly Father, we come because we must. We come because we ought to. We come because we need to. We come because we long to. We come because in you we have a joy and a gladness we have never known before. We come because you are the Lord. Amen. Lord, so mighty, you inhabit eternity. Lord, so humble, you live in our hearts. Lord, so holy, you are far beyond us. Lord, so loving, you come to us in Christ. Lord, so worthy of our praise. Lord, so ready to forgive our failings. Lord, you are worthy of the praises of heaven and earth. Prepare each of us to sing your praises and to live for your glory. In the name of Christ our Lord. Amen.
Let us pray. O God, who wonderfully created and yet more wonderfully restored the dignity of human nature, grant that we may share the divine life of Him who humbled Himself to share our humanity, your Son, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. We pray our parish prayer. Gracious God, you sent your only Son, Jesus, to be for us an example of godly living. Empower us by your Holy Spirit to treasure your creation, that we may be his faithful disciples in our time and place, making disciples of all nations, sharing his words with all who need to hear them, and helping our brothers and sisters to experience life in all its fullness, all to your honor and glory, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our reflection today is entitled, Responding to God. Responding to God. The prophet Jeremiah tells us that God has a plan and purpose for our lives. A plan not for our harm, but to give us a future of hope. A future where we can trust God and live by the promises of God. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. However, we all know that we cannot simply drift from day to day, from one day to the next, without having some idea of where we would like to go. We should therefore have a vision for our lives. We should identify our gifts and strive to use them in the service of God's people. But what happens when our vision for ourselves is different from God's plan and purpose for us? Do we follow our vision, which we may have carefully mapped out, even though we don't know what the future will bring? Or do we follow the unknown way of God, trusting that God knows what is best for us, trusting that we can really live by faith and not by sight? Today in our Gospel, we are reminded of the story of one who followed God's plan in very difficult circumstances. The story of Joseph, the earthly father of Jesus, the Son of God, the Savior of the world. Joseph must have had plans for his life together with Mary, to whom he was engaged. He must have envisioned a future as a quiet, hard-working family man in the town of Nazareth in the district of Galilee. He would have seen himself working at his trade as a carpenter and taking care of his family, his wife Mary, and the children with whom he would be blessed by God. Mary's parents had agreed to the marriage. The engagement had been made official. They had begun preparations for the wedding. Then, to his utter disappointment and frustration, Mary, his fiancée, told him that she was pregnant with the child of the Holy Spirit. Mary recalled to him her encounter with the angel of God. Joseph wanted to believe her. What she said was possible. He knew about the prophecy of a Messiah, and he knew about heavenly messengers, angels. And it was obvious that Mary was pregnant. That was not a part of his plan. He couldn't go through with the marriage. He decided to set aside the engagement quietly to avoid a public scandal. Joseph would try as far as possible to spare Mary and her family public ridicule. It was a decision based on his care and concern and love for Mary. It was indeed the best thing to do. Then he could move on with his life. God had other ideas. An angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." Matthew chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. What is Joseph to do? He has already made his plans, which are quite different from God's plan. He has a choice. Joseph, however, chooses to follow God's plan in spite of the challenges it will bring. Not only he is to be the father of a child he has not fathered, he does not even have the privilege to name the child, officially his firstborn, a privilege claimed by the men of his day. Joseph chooses to follow God's plan. It must have taken faith that came from his knowledge of God, his knowledge of God's faithfulness, his knowledge of God's love for God's people. For he was indeed a member of the old covenant with God. So Joseph, following God's plan, takes Mary to be his wife. Matthew records, "But he had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and he named him Jesus." Matthew chapter 1, verse 25. Joseph had to give up his right as a husband to follow God's plan. However, he remained obedient. That, however, was not the end of the road for him. Joseph probably pictured his son being born in the comfort of his home in Nazareth, with the presence and support of Mary's family, especially the woman with whom Mary would be familiar. That was not to be. Emperor Augustus issued a decree that all the world should be registered. Luke chapter 2, verse 1. Joseph had to leave his town of Nazareth in the district of Galilee to travel on foot with a pregnant wife on their donkey to go to the district of Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem. This was certainly not a part of his plan. It was God's plan. The Savior was to be born in Bethlehem, in Judea. In Bethlehem, however, much to Joseph's disappointment, for he tried desperately to find a proper place for his wife to give birth, the inn was filled. Only a stable was available, not the ideal place to give birth. In a stable, his firstborn came into the world. God chose the place, not Joseph. The King of Kings was to be born in a lowly place, not a palace, but a stable. God's plan, not Joseph's. Joseph was amazed by the visit and the words of the shepherd in the stable. It was God's plan, not his. He would have preferred that not many people knew that his wife gave birth in a stable. However, Joseph continued to be obedient, and as a good father, he ensured that he did for this child all the things that every father in his religion and culture would do for their firstborn son. After 8 days, he had him circumcised according to the law and gave him the name Jesus in obedience to God's plan. He and Mary went to Jerusalem for the rite of purification, to offer the sacrifice and to designate their firstborn son to the Lord. They returned to the town of Nazareth in Galilee. Joseph probably believed that now they would settle down as a family. But that was not God's plan. For after the wise men, the Magi, left, he was warned in a dream that Herod was seeking the child to kill him. Joseph was told, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you." Matthew chapter 2, verse 13. God's plan. Joseph got up, took the child and his mother by night, and took the long, treacherous, difficult journey to Egypt, a foreign country where he didn't know anyone. Egypt, where life would not only be different, but difficult, in a foreign country without the support of family and friends. It was God's plan. Out of Egypt, I have called my son. Just as he was getting to understand the culture in Egypt and making a decent living as a carpenter, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who are seeking the child's life are dead." Joseph got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. Matthew chapter 2, verses 20 and 21. Joseph proposed, his plan was to go to Judea, but he was warned in a dream to go to the district of Galilee. There he made his home in a town called Nazareth. God's plan. From Nazareth to Nazareth. Joseph did not live to see the work of this special child. That was not a part of God's plan for him. However, he remains a powerful example of submission to God's plan rather than his own. His road was by no means smooth or without challenges because he was following God's plan. As we begin this year, 2021, do we have the faith to follow God's plan for us when it does not coincide with our plan for ourselves? We sing, "Father, let me dedicate all this year to thee, in whatever worldly state thou would have me be." In faith, that should be our prayer. In 2021, let us, with the help of the Holy Spirit, try by faith to follow the way of God, to follow God's plan for us and God's purpose, for it is the best for us. God loves us so much that God desires what is best for us, even though we may not see it at the time. Let us humbly ask for the gift of faith to do it God's way and not our way. Let us pray for faith to pray like Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. Not my will, but yours, O Father, be done. Let us truly strive to make this year, 2021, truly a year of our Lord. Amen. Let us pray. God of all time, who makes all things new, we bring before you the year that has just passed. For life full and good, for opportunities recognized and taken, for love known and shared, we thank you. Where we have fallen short, forgive us. When we worry over what is past, free us. As we begin again and take our first few steps into the future, when nothing is safe and certain except you, we ask for the courage of the wise men who simply went and followed a star. We ask for their wisdom in choosing to pursue the deepest truth, not knowing where they would be led. In the year to come, God of all time, be our help and companion. Hold our hands as we journey onwards and make your dream of shalom, where all will be at peace, be our guiding star through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. For all the possibilities ahead in this new year, make us thankful, O Lord. Give us wisdom, courage, and discernment in the face of so much chaos, despair, and fear. Help us to see how, in our circumstances, we can contribute towards peace, faith, justice, and love. And give us the will to translate our desires into action. Amen. O God, who changes not with changing years, we creatures of time look back along the road we have come. We thank you for all your loving kindness and tender mercies along the way. When the road was dark, you did not fail us, though we often failed you. Forgive us and help us to do better. We look forward, knowing not what may befall us in the year that has just begun. Help us to live a day at a time, to trust you as much in the shadow as in the sunshine, and to find our way by the light of your will. O Lord, who are both guide and goal, whose companionship is our stay and strength, go with us, we pray you, into this new year, and bring us at last to our journey's end in peace, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And as our Savior Christ had commanded and taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and forevermore. Amen. Teach us, good Lord, to serve you as you deserve, to give and not to count the cost, to fight and not to heed the wounds, to toil and not to seek for rest, to labor and not to ask for any reward save that of knowing we do your will, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And in this first Sunday of the year, we say our parish pledge. I promise my brothers and sisters, through worship of the Lord and loving him with my whole heart, that I will show compassion and love as Christ loves us. I promise to serve those in need and be an inspiration to all. May faithfulness be at my core as my love for God increases. May I serve God more and more as my diligence never ceases. I promise to respect other religious, social, and cultural groups, working to develop a community living in peace and harmony for the benefit of all. I will strive to be justly accountable in all my words and deeds, and to be reconciled with others for the advancement, upliftment, and growth of the church in our parish with the help of God. May Almighty God, who sent His Son to take our nature upon Him, bless you in this holy season, scatter the darkness of sin, and brighten your heart with the light of His holiness. May God, who sent His angels to proclaim the glad news of the Savior's birth, fill you with joy and make you heralds of the gospel. May God, who in the Word made flesh, joined heaven to earth and earth to heaven, give you His peace and favor. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you always. Amen. And so we wish all of you a very Spirit-filled, Spirited, directed year 2021. We remind you to follow the regulations as we continue to strive to be safe. God's richest blessing to you and your families.